This is the day that the Lord has made. Does one day really matter? Does one day matter? Now, I told you a little bit earlier, we often use the term a day late and a dollar short. Well, I looked that up and there was not really any particular anything about that. It was just a saying and something that somebody had came up with. And really, it just means that you've run out of resources, you've come up late, you don't have anything else to give, should have taken more advantage of lost opportunities. A day late and a dollar short. May not seem like a big deal, right? To some or to most. Unless yesterday you were alive and kicking, and today you're getting ready to visit Holly Hill. Day late, dollar short. What if you and I, us and we, knew that soon we would not be sitting in these pews together? Would you not make or take every opportunity to make sure that your soul was right with God? You're saying, well, preacher, here you are again talking to the cream of the crop. Here you are again talking about salvation and talking about these messages to us that are already saved. But there again, when I begin to think about this, I begin to think that there's missed opportunities in life. Well, the psalmist was one of those places that this particular psalm, he made some observations that I think I want to talk about for just the next few moments. When you look into Psalm chapter number 84, there's a phrase in there that caught my attention as a few days ago, actually, this message came to me. You're going to think, really? Sherry and I was sitting at a particular restaurant earlier in the week. Sanibel's, anybody know where Sanibel's is? We were there earlier in the week, and I don't know why God does what he does the way he does it. And I was sitting there, she didn't even know this. I was sitting there at that restaurant getting ready to eat fish, and this bomb come into my heart. One day late. Does one day really matter? I didn't say nothing to her. I got a napkin out and I wrote it down. And at that moment, I knew that God told me to preach that tonight. You think, are you preaching in vain tonight? No, I'm preaching to somebody. I'm here for you. I don't want to use the word to warn, even though there's things in this message that will be leaning towards that. Robert, it's just like what you said. That we need to take advantage of every opportunity that God has given us right now. Now, this is not a political statement. But with a former president that we had, I heard it said over and over and over, the church better take advantage of where we're at today and the support that we have now as Christians. There may be a day when we do not have the support that we have now. I remember the former president saying, it's okay to say Merry Christmas. Let's see if that happens this year. It's not a political thing, it's an observation. When the sons of Korah recorded these words in Psalm 84, they were of a Levite family who was in charge of taking care of the tabernacle. Inside the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence. Now you need to hear that. I loved the moment when God moved in this room this morning. God was drawing us into His presence. In Psalm 84, He talks about this, and I'll read the text in a minute. The writers of this psalm were the ones that were there at the gate of the tabernacle, that it was, they were doorkeepers. And it was mentioned in two different places, and we're not going to turn there, 2 Chronicles 20 and 19 and 1 Chronicles 26 and 12. I think if my eyes are right, 12. They trusted and cared for the holy things of God. When we think about it now, the temple represented, or however, the temple in Jerusalem represented something much larger even then, and that was God's presence, God's kingdom. And one day, knowing that Jesus would be the tabernacle there in the New Testament, it represented something larger. It represented God in His presence. Here's sort of what this psalm puts together, and then I'll read it. And it said that we have such a desire to be in God's presence. We may not be able to go into the Holy of Holies as it represents right here, but if I can just be a doorkeeper, if I can just be a gatekeeper, I want to be close to His presence. One who tended the temple, one who knew the value of His presence in the temple. A loose interpretation of that said this, and I'll get into it. I had rather scrub the floors and be at God's house. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God. Why would he say that? Because it is there where God's presence is. When we read this psalm, we pick up and he says, "How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Verse 2 says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for thee, the living God." I desire to be in your presence. At least if I'm at the gate, at least I know I'm close to where you are. "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart always are thy way, the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Rain also filleth the pools." Verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear unto, O God of Jacob, Selah. And then he says in verse number 9 and 10, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." And then he says, "For a day in thy courts." A day in thy courts. Can you just... He said, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee." So, Father, we thank You, God, this evening for Thy word. We thank You, God, that When we share the Word of God, it's not me that's doing it, Lord, it's the Holy Ghost. Help us, oh God, tonight to articulate and to say the things that you want us to say, the way that you would have them said. Set a guard, oh Lord, about my mouth tonight, that I would only speak those things that you would allow me to and be permitted in your hearing and your seeing. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 10 again, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Does a day really matter? According to the writer here, he looked around, maybe as we do today. And he said, hey, I choose a day in God's presence than 1,000 days elsewhere. In other words, to the writer here, he was emphasizing upon the simple fact that a day with God is important. The Word of God goes on and he begins to say this in several different places. One place in the Word of God, and I didn't write it out, I forgot to write it out there, says, if you look at that, that it says, rejoice, this is the day that the Lord hath made as the song. But again, Thessalonians says, rejoice, and again, I say, rejoice. So every day that we have, watch this, is a gift from God. Every day we have is a gift from God. When I wrote my notes out and my thinking as I was doing that, we can begin to see here again what the psalmist was writing. Can you think about this for a second? He said, better is one day in your courts. He was comparing that to 1,000 other days somewhere else. Whether it was at the beach, whether it was at the this, or whether it was at the that. He said, there is absolutely nothing else that can even compare to one day in God's house. Now don't get mad this evening when I say this, but you almost have to pay people to come to church these days. There's got to be some sort of incentive in order for a lot of people, I said a lot of people, not you by no means, but in order for a lot of people to even come to God's house. To me, when I think about that, it's almost as if to saying that God and God's presence is not enough to get you to come into God's house. I begin to think about that, about being in God's presence. What a glorious thing. Again, I know that we could preach this message 100 different ways. I know the Bible says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. I know the Bible lets us know that in heaven there will be no time X watches. Time won't work there. There's no batteries in heaven. Think about that. I'm just kidding. There's no time in heaven. Everything is God's time, and it won't matter. But while we're here, time matters. I think that it's important of how we use our time. Again, in Psalm 118 and 24, the Bible reminds us of this particular thing that I just read to you, that this is the day. This is the moment, this is the time, right now. I've met people and you've met people. I know I heard even family members saying this growing up. Thank God some of them have lived long enough to be able to do that. Some would say to me, well, I'll get right with God one of these days. One of these days, one of these days, I'll take the time to get right with God. How many times have you heard it, but yet they'll say, not today? How many of you have ever heard anybody say that? I have over and over again. I'll do that one day, Alan, but not today. And I think to myself, one day really matters. One day really matters. Again, this psalm here in Psalm 118 and 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Again, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that we have and you have to rejoice in the Lord. God has given us this day when Jesus taught his disciples in the book of Matthew. He taught them the word, and he said, when you pray, pray this. And he taught them our Father, which art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. To me, this is a sign that God intended for you and I to be engaged in Him on a day-to-day basis. Somebody comes to church on Sunday, well, I've done my dues this week. I'll see you next Sunday, preacher. God said, a day today, give us this day our daily bread. Does a day really matter? A day really matters. I was looking up different scriptures and thinking about this and thinking about, you know, how that, again, I'm not going to get into it yet, but it does say in the scripture in the book of James, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but he teaches us to not to even take no thought for tomorrow. That when tomorrow comes, it'll be sufficient for itself. I remember reading in the Word in the book of Job how that Job was this man, Martha, you just sung about it. I thought, well, it's connecting, it's working. When the enemy came to tempt Job and how that he was there. And the Bible lets us know there came a day, if you will, when the sons of God, Job and his children, they came, they presented themselves before God. They prayed and they had an altar. Job had an altar. He did it in the latter part of the book of Job. They came to present themselves before God. A day when they came to give themselves to God. Guess who come along? Satan came along with them. I wasn't going to put that scripture in there, and then I thought to myself, well, it fits because there's not a day that you and I go by that we're not fighting some type of spiritual battle. That we're not engaged in some way, shape, form, or fashion with the enemy of our very soul. And again, I don't know why I'm preaching this. It's just I believe God gave it to me and told me to do it. But there's a great concern. I almost said fear in the house of the Lord. There's a great concern today that many people are going to wait too late. There's a great concern to me that many people are going to wait too late to turn their heart over to God, to give their life to the Lord to be saved. Even though Job's children and Job himself came there, and they gave themselves to the Lord, Satan came also. And Satan tried to, again, do everything he could to get Job to turn his back on God. Can I tell you that you and I, as long as we're breathing, that Satan will always be there to try to distract us and to keep our day filled with confusion and to keep our day so mixed up and tangled up, discombobulated. Spell that for me after a while. Me and Mama Beast talked about that before. That's the devil's job. And when you and I see that the enemy of our soul is doing that very thing, what do we need to do? We need to lift up our head, we need to lift up our eyes, because we know that our redemption draweth nigh. Well, here's a scripture for you. And we certainly don't need to wait too late. These are some concerns that I had as I was thinking about this message. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2 says it like this. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted today. The time of grace, the time of favor, and the time of opportunity. We do not need to miss our opportunity as it concerns serving God and worshiping Him, even as the church. But He says in the Word, He says that I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, for behold, now is the day of salvation. Today's the opportunity. Right now, today. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that it seems like we come up a day late and a dollar short. And we look back and we think, man, I needed to take opportunity of that while the opportunity was there, whatever that means to you. Somebody uses the old cliche, you've got to strike iron while it's hot. Somebody uses these cliches and these terminologies and all of these things boil down to one thing. Don't miss a golden opportunity. Now, maybe not in this room. I don't know if even watching online. But you have family members and I have family members. They've heard the gospel. They've heard preachers yell and scream and spit and holler for years. But yet it seems like that they have as yet not come to an adherence of the Word of God. But as far as you and as far as me and those that's hearing me preach this message tonight that God sent me by just long enough to share it with you, don't delay another day. If I could scream that as loud as I can from the mountaintops or from the street corner, and if people would hear what I would say, I would do that. Don't miss another opportunity to get your heart right with God. Today is the day of salvation. Now, I would assume just by my observation and my feelings can lie to me and my observations can be wrong. But I would dare say that probably everybody in this room is born again, saved. But if you're not, and you're playing church, and you're playing with God, as Pastor Dotson always used to tell us years ago, he said, play with your boats and play with your cars, play with your cats, play with your dogs, but don't play with God. Salvation is a serious matter. Salvation is the most serious matter of your entire life. Somebody says, I'm going to live forever. You will. That is an exact true statement. Not in this body. Not as you are right now. But you will live forever. That is why it's so very important that we not delay and that we take care of our salvation experience on this side, because when you go to the other side, if you will, if I can use that terminology, it'll be a little bit too late. When you begin to read in Luke chapter number 16, there's a great, I want to say story, but it's not just a story. And because Jesus did not say, now learn a parable. Jesus didn't see that. It was something that Jesus in his omniscience knew that this was a true and a real story, event rather. And it happened between a man by the name of Lazarus and a rich man. When you begin to look at this, we can see this as we pick it up. Verse number 19 says, and this is in Luke 16, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. Every day, excuse my expression and excuse the way I'm going to say this, this fat cat sat back in his chair and ate chicken legs and said, hey, I got it made. I don't have to worry about one cotton picking thing. My concern is not their concern. I could really care less about them. As long as I've got it made, I don't really care what happens to anybody else. Now, you say, well, preacher, can you prove that by the scripture? Watch this. Absolutely not. But in my mind, I think that the Bible says here, and I'm thinking, this cat thought he had it made. He did not take advantage of the day that God had given him. The Bible said that he fared sumptuously every day. And no doubt in my mind, he wasn't worried about his light bill, his phone bill, his cell phone bill, his cable bill. He wasn't worried about eating groceries or anything else. He just had it made. Maybe you're one of them cool cats this evening, and you think, hey, I don't have to worry about a thing. One thing you forgot about, there's going to be a judgment day. Again, I read a little bit about that. I didn't really focus a whole lot of time on that. There come a day, the next verse, and you can roll with me, the next verse we can see this where the Bible said, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores. Go ahead. And he says in 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, And he had a dog named Moreover. Just kidding. Moreover came over every day. And the Bible said that this poor dog didn't have any, even any food. He just licked on those Lazarus' sores every day. Day in, day out. What a deplorable view that must have been from not only Lazarus' viewpoint, but even from the rich man's viewpoint. And then we see here in the word of the Lord, and it said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Death is a great equalizer. The rich die and the poor die. You got my picture. It ain't a matter of whether you're going to die, but it's a matter of where you're going to go after you die. It's a matter of taking opportunity with God this day. And again, if you guys felt what I felt on the inside of me, and you've heard me preach for years and years and years, but there's an urgency in my spirit. There is an urgency in my heart. And I hear the Holy Ghost saying, preacher, drive the point home. Drive it home tonight. Drive the point home. If you and I are here tonight sitting in this beautiful sanctuary, and we are saved and we die tonight and we go to heaven, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. Hallelujah, praise God. But just by chance, if somebody slipped in under our radar this evening and they're not right with God, one day's going to matter to you. One day is going to matter to where you're going to spend all of eternity. My God, have mercy. Y'all are quiet on me. One day will matter. We see this in the scripture text in the next verse in 23. And the Bible said, this is given a description about this rich man. And the Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in comfort and eating donuts off the table of Abraham. It's not what he says. And you say, well, preacher, you cannot scare the devil out of nobody. No, but I can sure try. I can attempt it. Because I know when I was a young person and I heard preachers preach on hell, I mean, way back in the day when we really believed the Bible and we really respected the Bible and we really believed that the Bible was true, a preacher would preach on hell and it'd make your fingernails grab the back of the pew. And now it just seems like you just whatever. Don't affect us not one way or another. A lot of people, I can't say everybody, because I know there's people sitting here saying, well, I don't feel that way. It's not everybody, but it might be one. By the way, my note's still here. It stays here. And it says, one more soul. It stays right there. It reminds me when I come here, I'm not evangelizing this evening where I throw a net to catch as many fish as I can catch. You know what I'm doing this evening? I'm fishing. I'm soul winning. I'm fishing with a single hook. I'm looking for that one soul this evening that's going to hear what I have to say. And you know your destiny is hell. You know you've not got your heart right with God. And you know if you died tonight, you would not go to heaven. That's the person I'm looking for tonight. You say, well, they're not in this room. I pray to God right now on the internet. Somewhere, some way, somebody will hear what I'm saying and somebody will fall on their knees and they'll hear this preacher preach and you'll make your destination heaven, because I want to tell you something. You don't have to go to hell. You do not have to go to hell. You can make your calling and election sure and you can spend all eternity in heaven with Jesus. What a glorious thought that is. But the Bible says here that this particular man, the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Again, I don't know. He said, better is one day in the court of the Lord. I may not be, or at the gate of the Lord, I may not be in there, but I know I'm close enough to God that I can enjoy His presence right here where I'm at. And then we can see that he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Look at this next verse, because it's very interesting. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know what? I preached this before, something similar along this line. Do you know what I hear in my ear? I hear in my ear, spiritually speaking, too late. Too late. I hear that in my ear when I read this text, because here this rich man is that had as equal opportunity as Lazarus. They both died. One went to be comforted in the bosom of Abraham, and this rich man went to hell, and in hell he'd been tormented. And in the back of his mind, too late. Too late. Too late. I've said this before and I want to say it again, and it's one of the things that's driven me all the years of my life as a pastor. Years ago, I heard Jimmy Swaggart say this, and for the benefit of those of you that's heard me say this again, just hit the pause button and I'll catch back up with you in a minute. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say this. He said, Brother Harden, Jimmy Swaggart had a dream one night. One night he had a dream. And he said, in this dream, he was going through hell. Now, I don't know what he was doing in hell, but anyway, he had this dream. He was going through hell in this dream, and he was picking people up and looking at them and throwing them back down into the abyss. Walk to the next one, pick them back up and look at them and throw them back down and look at them. And then he said, what are you doing? And y'all know the rest of the story if you've been here before. He said, I'm looking for that preacher that told me that I was okay. My God, that made me shudder as a young person to make me know as a preacher, you tell them the truth. You tell them the truth. I've tried to do that all these years that I've done this. Don't let one day be too late. One day late. One day makes a difference. Again, when you begin to look at this in the scripture text, we see this in verse 25. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and now Lazarus, evil things. But now he's comforted and you're in torment. Besides this, there's between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and they that pass to us and that would come from thence. In other words, there's a great gulf, and you can't do that. And he said in verse 27, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send us, wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest that they come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. When I read that this afternoon again to my mind, I thought, they will repent. If one from the dead will come back, they will repent. 2,000 years ago, you know the story. You know, let me just meddle for a second. This was not my notes, it's just meddling. We are so far removed from preaching the simple gospel, Brother West, and people believing that Jesus is truly the Son of God, that Jesus is virgin born, spotless, sinless life, death, burial, and resurrection. Preaching the simple gospel that Jesus came and Jesus gave his life, that Jesus was put in a tomb and that Jesus rose again. Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus is coming again too. Somebody says, well, that might have worked 2,000 years ago and it was a good story way back when. But you know that after Jesus, they didn't break Jesus' legs, and this wasn't in my study, but they didn't break Jesus' legs because it was prophesied that not a bone of his body would be broken. But not only that, he was already dead. And then they begged the body of Jesus, and they took him and put him in Joseph's tomb. We know the story. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? For he's not here, he's risen as he said. But I remember preaching, I remember hearing the word and preaching the simple gospel that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for our sins. And we believed it. Now, I'm not saying you don't believe it. I'm just simply saying that people believe that then. But now, it's almost as if you preach the gospel and you tell people that today. And it just goes over their head. They don't even pay no attention to it anymore. And I think about that when I think about this is because there are many people that you know and many people that I know that may not make it to heaven if they continue to push God out of their life. They don't take advantage of the day that God has given them. You know the rest of this scripture text here in verse 31, and he actually says this. He said, and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let me give you this really, really quick. Salvation must be a priority of the day. Salvation must be a priority of the day. There was a man in the Bible who basically wanted more. He just wanted more stuff. He wanted more possessions. The Bible said that I will pull down my barns, if you will, build greater that I may bestow all of my fruits and all of my goods. He took no thought for his soul. In verse 19 of Luke 12, he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for years, many years. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Just party it up. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about anything. But something happened. In this next verse of Scripture, something happened in this man's life. And this is part of where we're at tonight, because if you neglect your soul, trying to get more, 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 bigger, 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 and you neglect your soul, what about the church? If the church only does that, we're just as guilty as this man here. We've got to be good stewards of what God has given us and do the work of the ministry with the resources that God has given us. Verse 20 says these words. But God said unto him, thou fool. And here it uses the word night rather than the word day. He said, but this night, I don't know if he died in his sleep, good possibility of it. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What good's it going to do you when you're dead? Sorry, I was a little carnal there for a second. What good's it going to do you if you neglect God? And if we don't use this day for God's glory, what good is more stuff going to matter? And we see this in verse number 21. He says, if you look at this, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And then he goes in and God, again, Jesus is teaching this Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is saying that life is more than raiment. It's a lot more than that. Consider your soul. The next thing is, not only do we need to consider the day for our soul, consider the day for God's presence. Take advantage of what time God has given us in each day. If you look in the book of James chapter 4, a couple of verses of Scripture, in verses 14 and 15. Whereas we know not what shall be on tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? We don't know. For what is your life? The Bible says it's even like a vapor that appears for a little while. Does a day really matter? Does a day really matter to you? Now, I know I could have went back and talked a whole lot more about Psalm 84 and verse number 10. But I was trying to make a point that God's presence, better is one day in God's presence than anything else that we possibly could do, that one day matters. I do things, I got hobbies. I do things that I enjoy doing. But in all of my doing, I keep God in His presence in front of me. Everything I do it as unto the Lord. He said, your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time. 24 hours in a day. I wonder how much time we actually give God of our time. I'm not saying neglect your job. I'm not saying neglect your home. I'm not saying neglect your duties. I'm not saying neglect anything like that. But I am saying, how much time are you giving God out of your day, myself included? This next verse in verse 15 says this. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Depends on what's in a day, right? What are you doing with your day? The latter part of this, it reminds us that life is just a vapor. Another part. This is a little bit different than where I've been with this thinking of this. James was saying in verse 15, if the Lord will, we should do that, do this, or do that. We cannot be so worried about what may or may not happen next week, next year, day after tomorrow, even tomorrow in a lot of ways, that we cannot enjoy today. I heard it said like this, that worry is paying rent on something that may not even happen tomorrow. So with that being said, I wanted to say, each day God's given you, enjoy God's presence for that day. So what do we do? Matthew 6, I think I gave this to you guys up there. Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34 says it like this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself. All these other things will be added unto you. Better is one day in your courts. Then he says in 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Maybe I should have tied that back with Job. I don't know. But tomorrow is going to have enough worries for itself. It'll come. But what are we doing today? Don't delay. Don't delay. Salvation must become our priority. And we need to take advantage of the time that God has given us. And we must be mindful of God's presence every day we live. God is good. Stand with me. Can you say praise the Lord? I just bore my heart for you and for this church. Let's give God some of this. Better is one day in your courts, one day in your presence, than a day outside of your presence. So, Father, I thank you, O God, even now, for who you are. And, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Father, I thank you for the time that you've given us this evening to come into your house, to love you and to honor you and to spend this time with God's people. Father, I pray this evening, if there's one person anywhere that heard this message, and God, they're not right with you, they've put it off and they've delayed coming to you, thinking that there'd be another opportunity and another day, a better opportunity, another day. God, the opportunity's now. The opportunity, the day of the Lord is at hand. Even as it was in the day of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage. Not even taking into consideration that this might be the very day and the very hour that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Lord, we could be out of here, all of us, by daybreak. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Folks, the only thing I had to say this evening is let's use our day wisely for God. Before we leave, I want to pray for Shelby this evening. I want to pray for her that God would touch her and give her strength. If you're here tonight and you want prayer, by all means, come up and let's pray together. Let's pray one for another. Amen. Let me say this before we pray and depart. If you're going home, as you go home, that's a better word. As you go home, be careful. People's out and about, I'm sure, on the street corners, and I don't know what they're doing. I'm in here, but I'm assuming they're running across the road and everything else. Be careful going home. Stretch your hands this way and pray for Shelby this evening. I pray that your day will be filled with his presence. Tomorrow, as we go throughout the day, and Tuesday, we covet your prayers. A couple of weeks ago, you guys voted and elected to buy the vehicle that we're going to buy, and it's already paid off, paid in full. We've not even went and picked it up yet. We thank God for it. We're going to use it to his glory. We're going Tuesday and pick it up. Sherry and I, Mitch and DeWilla and their son. He's going to leave here at 6 a.m. and we're going to drive to Atlanta. And then we'll be back later on that night. And I just want to say I covet your prayers as we travel. And the seniors, again, are meeting here Friday. We are going to do some other Saturday events with the seniors. It's just worked out that way for right now, but to do Friday. But we're leaving here at 4 o'clock. If I can find a driver at that time, we're working on all that. We'll take the bus. If not, we'll figure it out. We'll follow each other. We'll carpool. But anyway, it'll all work out. We're leaving here at 4 o'clock. Please sign up. We need a sign-up list because we do have to have reservations down there. And we're going to the Classic. The what? And then we'll go from there. God bless you. Amen. I thought I was forgetting something. Have a great night. We love you. God bless you.